we're going back 400 years before the story even begins. We're going to Malachi chapter 4. So if you have a Bible, open it up to Malachi. Or as I say in my future coffee shop menu, Malachi. Malachi. Someday that's going to be big, okay? It's going to be like, I want a Christian tea, but, you know, I don't want to be secular. So it's going to be like, what do you want to drink? The Malachi. Okay? I'm sorry, that was bad. Malachi chapter 4, verse 1 through 3. I've called this message, The Night Won't Last Forever. I think the whole message can be summed up in that title, The Night Won't Last Forever. Even just hearing that, for me, that's encouraging. Is that encouraging? Just the title by itself, The Night Won't Last Forever. You know, I have a daughter. You guys know this. Some of you do. Her name's DJ. She's 3 years old. She's the cutest thing on this planet. And amen. And the other night, my wife and I were putting her to bed, and we kissed her goodnight, and my wife left the room, and I was like, I turned off the light, and sometimes I sing a song to her or tell her a story, and I'm leaving the room, I shut the light off. You like that Albuquerque Burquenio thing? Shut the light off, you know, I don't even know, like, we just say it, and we think nothing of it. I shut the light off, and then I was walking out, she goes, Daddy, wait! And she's in her little bed, and her little hand is like, reaching out for me, and she says, Daddy, wait, don't go. And I was like, oh, you know, so I come over, and I'm like, what's wrong? And she's like, I'm scared of the dark, Daddy. And my heart melted. And then she was like, is the sun going to come out? Like, she literally said that. Is the sun coming out? And then all of a sudden, she became Orphan Annie, and I became that bald dude, and I'm just like, the sun will come out tomorrow, right? But, I mean, literally, it was that cheesy, like, in that moment. And I was like, of course, like, it's going to come out tomorrow, right? Like, it's going to come out in the morning. And I embraced the cheesiness of that dad moment with my daughter, because I was like, yeah, like, of course. You don't have to be afraid. There's nothing to be afraid of. You know, the book of Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament. And it's almost as though God's last words begin a really long night. And for a lot of people looking at it, a lot of the nation of Israel, they could see it as something to be afraid of. But in actuality, there was a lot of hope in this last book of the Bible. It's a message of judgment, but it's a message of judgment mixed with a message of hope and a message of blessing, a message of a promise that is good to those who trust in it. See, this book was written by a prophet named Malachi, right? And Malachi was this prophet that came at a pretty good time in the nation of Israel. At least that's how it seemed on the outward way. On the outside, it looked like everything was going just great for the nation of Israel. Everybody had finally gotten out of captivity from Babylon after years and years and years of being enslaved. They're finally back home. Everything's looking good. The temple has been rebuilt. Nehemiah is the governor. Things are going back to normal. They're home now. And they haven't been home for such a long time. And so everything seems to be okay on the outside, but on the inside, spiritually, they weren't where God wanted them to be. Physically, they were, but not spiritually. Now, these people, they weren't like outwardly rebellious and like worshiping golden calves and idols and sacrificing to pagan gods like they were pre-captivity, but they were heading that direction very quickly. You see, they were kind of half-hearted about their faith in God. They were kind of just like apathetic and just kind of lazy and not quick to obey. They weren't authentic, and they were slowly drifting back to idol worship, like, you know, the reason that they even came into captivity in the first place. And the worst part about it is that they didn't even know that they were slowly drifting away from God. They didn't even know that. But God has to come and remind them. And so he gives Malachi, this prophet, a message from God. And it's a message that's basically telling the people, I'm not done with you yet. What's that, Pastor Skip? I'm not done with you yet, is what God says. I'm not done. Now, that could go either way. Like, that could be a blessing, or that could be a cursing. That could be a message of hope, or that could be a message of judgment. And we'll talk about it later based on the attitude and the actions of the individual, of the nation. On one side, there's judgment. On one side, there's hope. But let's look at the story. Just in context, Malachi chapter 4, we're just going to look at three verses, verse 1 through 3. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly will be stubble. What's stubble? Have you looked at my face? This is stubble. It's really nothing to show for. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, there's nothing good that comes from this. You know, I don't have a beard like Matt Griego, okay? But so it's kind of like stubble is like chaff, right? Like we talked about last week in the park. I don't know why I just brought up my face to embarrass myself. I can't grow a beard to save my life. And so that's basically what he's saying. The wicked will kind of amount to nothing. They'll have nothing to show for. And then he goes on and he says, and the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts. That will leave them neither root nor branch. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. And you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. Amen. And you shall trample the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet. On the day that I do this, says the Lord of hosts. So this chapter is the last word from God. And then God just drops the mic. Let me demonstrate. No, I'm just kidding. The sound guy in the back's like, please don't, right? And then he drops the mic, and then he just shuts off all communication from people, specifically his people, but all people. God is silent, and he remains silent for 400 years. He goes off the air. And after this comes a time of darkness, of waiting, of silence, of not hearing anything from God. No more speaking through the prophets to the people. Nothing. God has said what he needs to say, and then he just shuts off the microphone and says, I'm done. But I'm not done forever. I'm not done forever. But that night, man, what a long night that was. For 400 years. The nation of Israel, the creation of God, people sat in darkness, not hearing any revelation from God anymore, minus what he's already said. Have you ever had a really long night? A really long night that just like seemed to go on and on and on and on and never end? Anybody in here? I have. I you know, we're speaking of rummage sales. We're doing a rummage sale. And we used to do rummage sales all the time for mission trips. And what happens with that, and by the way, you know, I think those are really awesome to be able to raise money for stuff like the Peak and Reboot and Summer Camp, all things that we want to do next year. So rummage sales are awesome, but they require a little bit of work. And I remember a few years ago, we were doing a mission trip to England, and I volunteered to, or maybe it was Puerto Vallarta, and I volunteered to stay the night along with a few other guys to watch the stuff, you know, all the stuff that we were selling, because we didn't want it to get stolen or we didn't want it to get destroyed. So we're out there, and let me just tell you, that night was the longest night of my life. For one, if you go out into the parking lot at night, there's just a bunch of cockroaches, okay? Just like so many cockroaches everywhere, and bats. Did you know that? If you came out of the parking lot at night, there's just a bunch of bats flying around. It's wild, okay? And so there's bats flying above my head, there's cockroaches at my feet, and I'm like, I'm really uncomfortable. And then on top of that, the two other guys that I was with that were watching stuff, they like fell apart that night. One dude started getting sick and like throwing up, vomiting on the ground. And he like, I was like, dude, are you okay? And he's like, I think I gotta go home. He's just throwing up. And I'm like, dear God, are you gonna die? Like, are you okay? And he's sitting in his car just like vomiting like out of the door. And I was like, geez, like you're no help, right? Go home. So he eventually works up the strength to just drive home. And it's me and another guy. And this guy, not even kidding, falls down somehow just messing around and breaks his finger. He literally broke his finger. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you got to go to the hospital, right? He's like, oh, I think I just need to go home. And so he leaves. And I'm there by myself. And then at like 3 a.m, the sketchy car drives up into the parking lot. And I'm there by myself. I literally had a baseball bat with me, a metal bat. And he comes and he rolls down the window and he's like, I've been watching you guys. He says, the name's Officer Love. Literally. And I'm like, Officer Love, like, you better, officer, get the out of here, right? Because you're creepy. I have no idea who you are. And I don't like that you've been watching me. And so I went away and I called the police that night. It was a long night. But I don't even have to go more into detail. It was crazy, okay? The things that happened that night. But I remember as the sun was coming over the mountains, I was just like overwhelmed with happiness and hope. Because that meant I got to go home and actually get to sleep. I didn't sleep even for a second that night. But as soon as the sun came up, that gave me just like this, is, oh man, it's finally here. That took forever. Somebody almost died. I almost died, but here we are, right? Some nights last for a long time. But for the nation of Israel, those nights lasted for 400 years of God's silence. For 400 years. But God didn't just leave the nation of Israel. He didn't just leave mankind high and dry. He didn't just like ghost them, like, peace out. He didn't give them just no explanation. God told them. He said, look, I've told you everything I need to tell you. And there's a message of hope. I'm telling you what's going to happen. God had given them his revelation. They should have known the promises that lay ahead. He said, yes, the night's going to be long, so to speak, but the night will not last forever. The night will not last forever. The Old Testament is done. The book ended. But that's not the end of the story. That was the end of the Old Testament. There's still another one coming, right? There's still another section of the book. See, by itself, if you just opened up the Old Testament, what if like all you had was an Old Testament? You know, I've seen like Bibles that just have New Testament and they have like Psalms and Proverbs. But what if all you had was the Old Testament? Let me tell you, reading the Old Testament by itself, although it's amazing and there's so many great stories, if it was just the Old Testament by itself, that's the most discouraging, depressing, disappointing thing that you could read because the promises would never be fulfilled. It's always pointing to this Messiah, to the Savior, to the person, the God-man who's going to come and make everything right again. But if we didn't have the New Testament, then what would the Old Testament be? It'd just be discouraging. Oh man, that never happened. He never came. And all we have is the law. And the law could never save a single soul. But the Bible didn't end there, did it? Because if it ended there, then we'd have reason to fear. Like my daughter, afraid of the dark. We'd have reason to be afraid of uncertainty, of God's judgment, of the devil having access to our lives, of our flesh having no way of resurrection. But the Bible doesn't end there. It's just the first book. It's just the first series. It's just the first season. There's a sequel, everybody, and that's the New Testament, right? It's meant to be read together, the Old Testament and the New together. The Old Testament, it doesn't end with a period, it ends with a comma. God's saying, I'm done for now, but believe me, it's going to get better. The end of the story will be something worth celebrating. It's going to be monumental. It's going to blow your mind. The night is here, and it's going to last for a long time. But the night won't last forever. The sun will rise. The sun will rise. Anybody excited that the sun will rise when we look at the Bible and we see that? You know, if the Old Testament was like a Netflix series, who likes Netflix? Love Netflix. I have my show. I got all my favorites, and I don't want you to say yours because, you know, it just might not be appropriate. But, you know, I love Netflix. But if the Old Testament were a Netflix series, the final episode of that season would go to black, and the words would say, to be continued, right? To be continued, right? Those cliffhangers were like, oh no, but I know that at least it's not the end of the story. I know that something's going to come and be resolved at the end. The characters are going to come back. There's some good news. And especially like cliffhangers that end on depressing notes, you know what I mean? We're like, oh, what happens, right? Is she going to get back together with him? I don't know, something just like that. And it's like, ah, I just want that, and that's what the New Testament offers for us, is the end of the story, and it doesn't disappoint. Look, I don't know what you guys are going through in your life. I don't know what's going on right now in your present circumstances. I don't know what kind of suffering you're experiencing. I don't know what darkness lies in your life. But let me just tell you this tonight. It's not the end. Now, I especially want to tell middle school students this, okay? This is not the end, okay? Because I know middle school. I remember how crazy that was. You're just like, man, will I always be in this place, in this body, and my voice is just, it's really weird right now. It gets better, let me tell you. I think that applies to every person in here. Whether you're in middle school or high school, this is not the end of the story. Take heart, take courage. Yeah, the night may last for a little while, but you don't need to be afraid because the sun will rise. You're going to get through this trial. You're going to get through this season of your life. You're going to get through this experience. You don't have to be afraid of the dark because the night won't last forever. Look, there's so much hope. There's so much hope in this room. And I just hope you get that. I hope you grab hold of that. I hope you understand what the New Testament, what the good news is a symbol of, what it means. It shows us that God is not done with us, that our story is still being written. There's so much hope. And maybe in true Israelite fashion, you ask the question, well, how? In what way do we have hope? How do we have hope? You know, if you look at the book of Malachi, it's like God's talking to the people, and then the people react with, how? Like, they're just like little kids, you know? Like, God says, like, you've sinned against me. And they're like, how have we sinned against you? You know, and so for some of us, we can have that attitude and say, well, I don't feel like there's any hope. How is there hope? In what lies our hope? And the answer is right here in our text. Jesus gives that hope. It's the Son of Righteousness. Jesus. Jesus. He's the hope. He's the one that we can put our faith in. Jesus came to start a new day and to end a long night. That's amazing. Jesus came to say, hey, you know what? Out with the old, in with the new. The law led to death. The letter kills, but grace came and it set us free. That's what Jesus came to do. So there is so much hope in this room tonight. You know, the nation of Israel, they had to look forward at an event that hadn't happened yet. They had to look forward and see if they were really paying attention to what all the prophets had spoken of since the beginning, since Moses. If they had been paying attention, they would be able to see that this silence, that this night was not going to be the end of the story, but that the Son of Righteousness would come, that Jesus would come, and he would make all wrong things right, that he would bring about a kingdom, that he'd set us free. They would know the Messiah still has to come. The Savior still has to come. And so they would look forward. See, we, as the church of the New Testament, right? The church of today, we don't look forward at something that hasn't happened yet. We look backward at an event that has already taken place 2,000 years ago. We look back in faith. So how were people saved in the Old Testament? The same way that we're saved, by faith, by trusting in the work that Jesus either hadn't done yet or has done in our case. Does that make sense? So we're saved by what? By grace, through faith in Jesus Christ. If Jesus came and he saved us from eternal darkness, if Jesus came and he saved us from eternal darkness, then guess what? We can take courage in our present darkness because it's just temporary. Because the sun's going to rise, and we know that to be true because he came. Let me ask you a question here. How do you know that the sun is going to rise tomorrow morning? You don't know. You guys think that it's going to rise tomorrow morning? How do you come to that conclusion? Because it always has. Because the sun rose this morning, and the sun rose yesterday morning, and the morning before that, and the morning before that. And so it already happened. It already happened. And so we can say, I know for sure that the sun is going to rise tomorrow because it is already risen. Look, we can trust in something. We can trust that because Jesus came through 2,000 years ago, he'll come through for us in our present circumstances tonight, tomorrow, the next day. We can trust that God is with us, that God The same God from the Old Testament who gave this promise is the same God that we serve who's alive today. The Bible says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so we can say, I know the sun's going to rise in my life because Jesus went to the cross and he met my greatest need. So if Jesus has met my greatest need on the cross, then Jesus is going to meet my greatest need here, even though it may be something small. Even though we see it as something great, if Jesus supplied salvation for you, if he saved you from hell, then what makes us think that he's not going to come through on these smaller matters of life? He will come through because he met your greatest need on the cross. Maybe you're dealing with depression in here or anxiety. And that's such a burden in your life. It's a monster that you can't get away from. Let me encourage you and just tell you this. You're not alone in that. The night will not last forever. You're not lost in that sea of depression. You're not lost in that sea of discouragement. The night will not last forever. Jesus came and he died on a cross and he rose from the dead. And he's alive and he says, I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. I'm here to the ends of the age. And then even then, I'm here. And so you can take courage in that. Or maybe you're here tonight and you're just beating yourself up over shame and guilt from sin that you've committed in the past. Let me tell you something tonight. Just like the sun will rise tomorrow morning, so will God's mercies and his grace for you. Jesus went and he died on the cross. He's alive today. And so every day is a day where we can say, hey, there's new mercies for me, as the Bible says. There's grace for me. You're not alone. You don't need to be afraid. The sun's coming out tomorrow. Or maybe you've been hurt by someone, or maybe you've been hurt by some circumstance in your life. Well, I want to tell you the same thing. Jesus came and he pierced the darkness with his light. He came and brought so much sunshine into a dark place in life. And so now you can take courage that he's present with you in your pain. That you may be walking through the valley of the shadow of death, but you don't need to be afraid because he's with you. And his rod and his staff, they comfort you. He's your good shepherd and you can trust in that promise. He's never going to go away. God says here in the text, I really love this text. I know it's Malachi, you know, and it just seems like Malachi is just known for like a judgmental portion of scripture right before the gospel. But man, there's so much hope here if you're looking for it. You know, it says, to those who fear my name, says God, the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in his wings. Now, what it's talking about here is this beautiful picture of the sun, right? The S-U-N, the sun, rising up out of the darkness. And the wings are not like real wings or buffalo wings, although I'm really hungry right now. But rays of sunlight. Okay, that's what it's talking about. And the wings of the sun, the rays, the sunbeams will come over us. And we'll find healing in those sunbeams. Have you ever just laid out in the sun by a pool? Anybody get to do that this summer? You just laid out there, just working on your tan, taking photos of yourself, legs are hot dogs, right? And you're just like putting it on Instagram, like, everybody, look how cool I am. I'm just sunbathing. I didn't get a chance to do that this summer. I'm kind of jealous of that. But was that hard work? Is that hard work to go and sunbathe? No. Yes, who said that? No, it's not hard work, right? If you think that's hard work, you've never worked a day in your life. Like, that's easy stuff, right? You just go lay down by the pool, you get a comfortable chair, and you're just like, this is awesome. This is awesome. I don't have to do anything. I can just sip on my, you know, water and just be like totally cool. I'm just separate from the world. I got no cares. Basically, this is what this is talking about. Jesus came, and because he came, we find healing in just basking in his grace, basking in his love, basking in his mercy, basking in his rays of light. Salvation is a gift. Let's not forget that. Did it require any work on our part? No, Jesus did all the work. God did the work. The Holy Spirit did the work. Jesus went to this world and he put on flesh. He became a man. He lived for 30 plus years and he went to the cross, was crucified, rose from the dead. And he's still a man, but he's God, but he's a man in heaven and he's sitting at the right hand of God and he prays for you. He's your intercessor. He's still working. But us, we just get to bask in his grace. I think so many Christians, they fail to do that. They think, oh, I'm a Christian, but I got to just like show how good I am by my works. And I got to, be religious and I got to do this and that. And so many people get lost in religion, but they fail to see that Jesus has already done the work. And what he wants us to do is just bask in his grace. And just realize, man, I have everlasting life. And God no longer sees my filthy righteousness, but he sees Jesus' righteousness in me. I'm a son. I'm a daughter of the King of Kings. Bask in that sunlight that Jesus has called you to bask in, to just relax in. Of course, we got to do our part. And our part is obedience. Our part is surrender. Our part is trusting that his ways are better than our ways. Bask in that. That was the promise to the nation of Israel. God said, hey, listen, there's going to come a time where judgment will be here in front of you. He says it's going to be like a burning oven. And those who think that they can do it on their own, those who are proud and arrogant, and those who are religious but don't have a relationship, who don't trust in the coming work of the Messiah, those who think that they have it all under control, they're going to burn up like Kelly's lack of facial hair. You know what I mean? But all they had to do was just turn around and repent and trust and obey. And if they did that, then the job was done. Then Jesus is like, just bask in my grace because I'm coming. All you got to do is trust and obey. It doesn't get much more difficult than that. Now, of course, that's easier said than done. But in the grand scheme of things, Jesus has done all the work. He just says, trust me. And then the blessing will come. That's what God was telling the nation of Israel. You can just trust in me. You can just fear my name. And then, you know what? You'll be like a fat calf. You know? You'll be like basking in my sunlight. And there'll be blessing. You know, the sun is good, right? Outside, like you walk outside. It could be a good thing or it could be a really bad thing. Like the eclipse a week and a half ago. How many of you guys got to see the eclipse? It feels like the eclipse is happening right now with these lights. But, you know, I was at work and somebody brought in some of those glasses. Beforehand, I was like, doing this thing. Oh, it burns, but it's so good, right? I'm just like, I can't stop looking, but I'm going to go blind. And Eli was actually with me, and he was like, Kelly, don't look at the light. And I was like, I can't help it. It's so beautiful, you know? And then finally, someone brought the glasses, and I was like, oh, this is much better. Like, I could actually stare at this for a long time. And it's amazing to see what is happening. This eclipse, it's brilliant, it's amazing. But if you don't have the right lens, man, the sun could do some damage to you. It could burn your retinas. I once stared at it for over an hour. No, I'm just kidding. You're like, what? No, I didn't. But the sun can be really good or it could be really bad. It's based on what you bring, what you receive, really, is the gospel, is what you receive from God. If you put it to practice, you'll be able to see the blessing that comes from it. With the right lens, you can look at it. Jesus is called the Son of Righteousness in this verse. The S-U-N, the Son of Righteousness. And that could either be really good news or it could be really, really bad news for you. God promised that the Son was coming. But it wasn't there yet, but it was coming. And what was this message to the children of Israel? Well, the humble will bask in its light, and the proud will be burned up by it. See, if you think that living like the nation of Israel, if you think that you can live like them and have the same attitude that they do, as far as like, you know what, I'm glad that things are going well now, so I'm just going to kind of revert back to my old ways and just live however I want. If you think that you can do that and be religious and just not really care and think that you got it all together, then the message that this verse has for you is a message of judgment. You're going to be burned up by that. But if you live obedient to God and you recognize that God's ways are better than your ways, and that all you got to do is trust and surrender in what he's done, then the promise in this scripture for you is that of blessing. It's a message of hope. It's a message of healing. It's a message of salvation for our souls. You know, I was looking at this, just this whole story in Malachi, and I just think, like, I feel like too many people look at God in the Old Testament and think that, like, he was a completely different person than he was in the New Testament, or that he is today. But God is the same God, and God's plan has always been salvation for all people. That's always been his heart. God would so much rather give you salvation than judgment. Did you know that? God doesn't, like, watch you squirm and be like, ha, I just want to see you sin one more time, and I'm going to obliterate you, right? That's not God's heart. That's never been his heart. His heart has always been that no one should perish, but all should come to everlasting life, to repentance. He's always been about salvation. He's always been about grace. He's always been about mercy. God is slow to get angry. He's quick to show grace to those who realize their need for him. Isn't that what Jesus talked about when he came? He said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who realize their need for me, because theirs is the kingdom of heaven. But God will judge you if you reject his offer. If you continue just to say, you know what, I've heard all this. I've been raised knowing this stuff. I'm really not interested. Jesus is okay with me, but, you know, I'm not willing to, like, go the distance for him. I'll show up on Saturday night. I'll read my Bible, but I'm not really interested in, like, going any further in that relationship. I'll obey him when it's convenient for me, but I'll disobey him whenever it just fits what I want to do. If you continue to live your life like that, there's no hope there. God sees right through you. And the promise is not of grace, but of judgment for you. But the choice is up to you. See, God promises freedom to those who surrender. It doesn't say God promises freedom to those who are religious. It doesn't say God promises freedom to those who give A-plus answers and, you know, have a quiet time from time to time and do good in school and make straight A's. Like, that's not what it says. It said God gives freedom to those who surrender. That's the message of the Bible. Those who surrender, to those who realize their need for him. Here's the promise. It's one of my favorite verses this week. I tweeted about it. It says, those that fear my name, says God, will go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. That's my verse when I'm like at a buffet, you know? After I've been like cooped up in my house eating dinner at home every night, we get out and I'm like, God wants me to get fat tonight. So here I go, right? And it's freedom. Like, that's really the meaning of this text is like, man, God wants you to have freedom. And with God and his ways and his will, it's absolute vast. It's can you imagine, like, these calves, like, just, like, free-spirited? They're like, man, we've been cooped up. We've been in stalls all our lives. But now we get to go graze in fresh meadows. That's the idea. There's so much freedom in Christ Jesus. I seriously love that because that's what it is. Freedom. It speaks of Jesus coming and bringing freedom, coming to set the captives free, coming to make right the things that were wrong. He came to bring life and life abundant. He came to bring liberty. I don't know about you, but that's good news. That's good news that Jesus came to bring me freedom. God doesn't want me just to be like pressed down by religion all my life. He wants me to be set free. And that's God's promise in Malachi. Those of you that trust in my name, Jesus says, God says, those of you that fear my name, man, you're going to bask in my grace. You're going to be like a fat cow running around wild and free and just grazing, right? The sky's the limits. That's what Jesus offers. Jesus came so that we could have eternal life. And he's alive now. He rose from the grave so that we can have a future and a hope. And maybe you're here tonight and you've never received that future and a hope. You've come to church because your parents told you that you need to come. You've read the Bible and maybe you can even quote scripture. You know what I'm saying, but you don't really know what I'm saying. You've never experienced that kind of grace in your life. You don't understand that Jesus wants a relationship with you. You don't understand that God gave everything so that you could have everything, so that you could have eternal life. You can't understand. You haven't really thought about the fact that Jesus became man and he became sin so that you could be sin free, so that you could go to heaven and spend eternity with him. And if you don't know that, I just want to give you an opportunity to ask Jesus into your heart tonight, because Jesus is present in this room tonight. He's here in this place. And the Bible says that he's knocking on the door of your heart. He's not going to force himself in. But he wants you to invite him into your heart. And if that's you tonight, in just a second, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand so that I can pray for you. This is good news. This is a good thing that we still have mercy available to us today in this room. There is still so much grace that God wants to pour out to you in this room tonight. He loves you. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to the person in here who's been running from God their whole life. I'm talking to the person in here who's been religious, and they don't understand that a relationship with Jesus is what they need to be set free. And if that's you, I just want you to raise your hand in the air to say, I need Jesus. I recognize that he is the way, that he is the truth, that he is the life, and I need to surrender to him. Anybody in here, just raise that hand high. Don't worry about what anybody else says. We're going to rejoice with you. Anybody else? Anybody in here? Anybody at all? Right here in the back. That's awesome. Just raise your hand. You know, raising your hand, that means you don't have it all together, right? Right here. In class, when the teacher gives us something, he gives you an assignment, and you don't understand, you raise your hand because you need help. And that's what we're doing tonight. We're surrendering. You're saying, I don't have it all together. I need Jesus in my life. I want the hope of salvation for me. Is there anybody in here? Anybody else? God is moving in this place. I believe that. I can sense God moving in this place. He's tugging at hearts. He's saying, come to me. I will forgive you of your sin. Come and take that burden off your shoulders, because I've already paid for it. And take upon my burden, because my burden's light. It's easy. Bask in my grace. Is there anybody else?
Right here.
Right there.
Anybody else?
Just raise your hand up in the air. God sees you. It's not about me seeing you. It's about God seeing you. And God sees your hand because he sees your heart. Right here. Anybody else? Why don't we all stand? Hey, and as we stand, if you raised your hand, or maybe you even didn't raise your hand and you need to give your life to Christ, I want you to come stand right up here. I know that takes some courage, but guess what? God will give you the courage to come down here because he loves you. And his Holy Spirit's working in you. Come on down. If you raised your hand, just get out of your seat. Say excuse me to the person next to you and they'll make a way for you to come down. Come on down. Let's get some leaders to stand with you. We love you. God loves you. This is amazing. I want to pray with you. I want to lead you in a prayer. It's not a prayer that saves you, like it's some sort of repetition that you got to say and all of a sudden you're saved. Like this is, it's a surrendered heart. And you've begun that process already by coming up here. Trusting in what God has done for you. He wants to hear it from you though. And so let's all close our eyes. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray together. And if that's you up here, I just want you to repeat these words after me. You're not saying them to me. You're saying them to God. And he's listening to you. He's here with you. Say, God, I'm sorry. Forgive me. I've been doing my own thing for too long. Come into my heart. I believe that Jesus died for me. And he rose from the dead. He's alive today. Jesus, come into my heart. Make me a new person. I want to follow you for the rest of my life. Starting now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's throw, come on. It's a party in here. Let's make some noise. Hey, if you prayed that prayer, here's Pastor Cody right here in the red beanie. He's got his hands raised. Follow Cody real quick. We're going to take you to a room, just talk to you for a minute, okay? And then you'll come right back in. But hey, let's give them a hand as they leave. Jesus has met our greatest need. Do you believe that tonight? And if Jesus could meet your greatest need and save you from eternal darkness, then he can come through in your present darkness today. Whatever you're going through, listen, you're not going to go through it forever. The pain, the suffering, the confusion, the doubt, the shame, the guilt, the questions. The night is here. Maybe it'll last for a little while longer, but listen, the night will not last forever. The sun will come out. The sun will rise. The spirit of Orphan Annie is coming here, right? The sun will come out tomorrow. That's the truth about God's love. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, and we can worship him because of that. There is so much hope in this room. Father, there's so much hope in the name of Jesus. There's so much hope. There's so much grace in this room. Yes, there's darkness here, Lord, but your light casts out all darkness. Your love casts out all fear. God, we want to follow you with our lives and know just as the sun rises, Lord, so you are faithful. And you are so much more faithful than the sun that comes out every day. You're so much more faithful. So much more faithful, Jesus. Trust in you. Let's worship him.